It was a UN Secretary General who once said, "Constant attention by a good nurse may be just as important as a major operation by a surgeon." But attention from a nurse is getting harder to come by. Part of the health care mess that is not getting quite as much attention as the battle over health insurance. America is running 100,000 nurses short, and it's set to get a lot worse. A situation, according to statistics, that affects your chances of getting out of the hospital alive. Come with me inside a busy hospital and watch nursing problems and some nursing solutions play out. Bill Gentile produced our report.
Don't get lost in this web of medical gear. It is keeping this terribly injured young woman alive. But it's all just tubes and wires without the nurse by the bedside.
Hi. Do you know my name? I'm Mary Grace. We've met a few times, but very briefly, and you met a lot of new people. So I'm not going to hold you to that. Can you lift up your arms for me? What do you think? Get him up.
Mary Grace Savage is a veteran nurse at New York's biggest hospital, the New York Presbyterian Hospital System. She's been here for 31 years.
Am I touching an ass?
In this neurological intensive care bed is 25-year-old Nicole Marquez, a dancer and actress who moved to New York from Mississippi to follow a dream of someday performing on Broadway. This is Nicole before the accident that put her here. She's in the hospital because of a terrible fall. Locked out of her apartment, she apparently tried to climb down to an open window from the rooftop. She fell 5 stories behind the building and was not found until the next day. Nicole broke her neck, broke her back, pelvis, ribs, punctured a lung.
Any squeeze?
Mary Grace and a team of nurses are working to help Nicole get back on her feet.
That's all her new mechanical pieces in there. See all that stuff? Screws and wires and ankles and framework supporting all the things that had burst.
Hands up here.
Doctors visit Nicole daily, and doctors did the surgery to reassemble her broken body. Popular culture often depicts the work of doctors heroically. What is too often overlooked, however, is the essential role of nurses, who in the case of Nicole Marquez, care for their patient constantly, and by constantly we mean constantly, monitoring, managing, responding day and night.
You strike me as someone who doesn't hesitate at all, that if you saw something that didn't make sense on a chart, or if you heard something that conflicted with something else you know about the patient, you'd probably say something about it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and yeah. But it's something that has
That's
to be encouraged.
That's my job, yeah.
You see that as your job.
Yeah, absolutely. An hour and a half? How's that sound?
It's nurses who keep the communication flowing with Nicole's family and friends. With Nicole, they patiently run through the alphabet to figure out what she wants to say.
B, C, D, D. Okay, Dad? Daddy? Okay. You want Daddy to come? Oh, sure. I'll get Dad. She wants Daddy to come.
Hey, how you doing? Okay.
There we go.
Nurses are the engine inside hospitals everywhere. Nothing moves without them. Too bad there aren't enough Mary Graces.
Something hurts? Which part hurts?
America's troubled healthcare system is currently running about 100,000 nurses short. This shortage is on track to get much worse as the population gets older and sicker. A U.S. government study says that within a dozen years, the national shortage could increase to more than 1 million. There are some fascinating reasons for this and some interesting proposed routes out of the crisis. It is literally and precisely a matter of life and death.
Doing okay? Yeah.
A study in the Journal of the American Medical Association found that the more patients there are per nurse, the greater the risk that patients will die. Other studies have underscored the connection between nursing quality and how well patients do. If there's all this demand, how come not enough nurses? Well, first of all, it's clearly not a career for the faint of heart.
Where'd Gabe go?
Ask Megan Stack, a kidney transplant nurse at New York Presbyterian. The patients Megan sees are part of a growing population of acutely ill older people who often show up at the hospital with multiple problems.
All right, he's good. Megan, can I help you?
As you watch her in action, you can see Megan has a job that requires stamina and the ability to think, quite literally, on her quick-moving feet.
23A is going for renal ultrasound. They're calling.
One of her patients may be having a heart attack, and it's up to her to formulate a rapid response. It is not just about fetching supplies. Nurses do a lot of what many of us think that only doctors do.
She had a cardiac event, so I can't let her go off the unit. Thanks. Home? No. No one's going home today.
Stack says she is managing the strain, but for how long?
Unfortunately, the clean supply is a nice place to take a deep breath when you're feeling a little overwhelmed, which I am, and you look for things that seem to always be moving. I think that's everybody everywhere, though. And it's not here, but I got a deep breath, so...
Across the country, a lot of nurses find that continuing strain just too much. Renee Nickel served as an emergency room nurse for 10 years at the Beaver Medical Center just outside of Pittsburgh. During that time, thousands and thousands of people in terrible crisis came through. Working in the ER is one of nursing's toughest assignments, and over the years, she's dealt with a lot of abuse from patients who are not at their best when they come in.
Scratched, slapped, punched, spit at, called every name in the book, names I didn't know what it was. You know, so that's, you just get tired of it.
But it was the life and death issues that got to Renee, watching too many people die. One night, a young woman was brought in from a car wreck.
It was a very, very bad 3 a.m. Trauma arrest. And I had already worked there for 12 hours. I stayed to help my coworkers work this arrest. It was a young lady, and we worked on her for 2 hours, and she did not make it. So I came home, and, you know, it was just a very, she was younger than me. And, you know, you just feel like the sense of loss and just senseless death. And I thought, you know, I'm very sensitive. I just thought, I don't want to see this anymore. You know, I just really don't want to see all that anymore. So I needed to make a change.
She ended up taking a job with a major insurance company and will now offer medical advice to patients over the phone. There are tens of thousands of nurses like Renee who will cut short their careers in active care. Even more are scheduled to retire in the next decade. So the challenge for hospitals is to keep nurses from leaving and to bring new nurses into the bedside.
My first job, my very first job as a registered nurse, I think I cried every other night. And that was a long time ago. How
much nurse? It's Willie Manzano's ultimate responsibility to recruit between 60 and 70 new nurses every single month. She's senior vice president and chief nursing officer at New York Presbyterian Hospital.
Well, we've done a lot in terms of recruitment activities. So we have put together internship programs that really bring in nurses into the institution, and we provide them with 6 months to 1 year internship programs in critical care.
Unlike doctors, nurses don't often get internships or residency programs. They do here at New York Presbyterian. It's the city's busiest hospital. It includes 5 campuses and about 4,500 nurses. Together, they handle at least 2 million patient visits a year.
need to get this label.
Allison LeBlanc from Massachusetts and Joni Welsh from Missouri are both fresh out of nursing school. We met them on the first day of their year-long residency at New York Presbyterian's Burn Unit.
I'm documenting that he did it himself.
It's nurses like these that Willie Manzano is working so hard to recruit and to retain.
I was stressing over nothing.
Yes, you were.
Yeah.
Today, Joni is working with Patrick Bork, a more experienced nurse on the unit.
We're going to change his dressings on his burn on his right lower extremity.
Andreas Krenmeyer burned his leg on a motorcycle exhaust pipe.
Then we're going to wrap it in
Curlex,
and then
cover it with
we're going to secure it with this type of dress and spandage.
This is called spandage. Okay. Some of the other hospitals that I looked at did not have the critical care classes that I was given and the extensive orientation. So that gives you a huge amount of time to really gain those skills that you didn't have a chance to in your nursing school. So that's huge for any new grad. Actually, a lot of new grads look at the orientation program more than they look at salary and benefits and things like that.
Nurses wear masks and gowns to protect patients from deadly infection. Joni and Allison are the beneficiaries of a system in which more experienced nurses guide and orient them on and off the floor through their residency.
Okay. Nice work.
Today, Allison is working with Shelley Ann Mathieu, a veteran nurse who's been working in the burn unit for 18 years.
I have all your meds.
Do you want to take this?
Their patient is 19-year-old William Calderon. At work in a restaurant, Calderon dropped hot grease on his feet. He's just had a skin graft, and a team of nurses wraps his feet to protect them.
You need to keep that graft straight. Keep your foot straight, because even though you think you're keeping your foot straight, you know when we go to sleep, we don't know what we do.
It's very important that you have this immobilized for 5 days so the graft will take in good position while your foot is in good position.
It's part of Allison's continuing on-the-job education.
The Curlex stretches and allows him to move, like when we wrap up burn dressings like that, to still allow him to do physical therapy and move. This cannot move, so when they wrap that up, it just really immobilizes.
Frank Costello is a nurse who's been working in the burn unit for over 20 years. He's a senior nurse, and one of the reasons that new and veteran nurses stay. He teaches inside and outside the classroom to keep nurses apace with developments in the field. He's part of the hospital's effort to retain nurses at every stage of their careers.
So with those numbers, with respect to the low cardiac output, you would deem that shock to be what? Hypovolemic.
Remember Megan Stack from Kidney Transplant? She and Frank are from different hospital units, but she's here to benefit from his knowledge and expertise.
So Joni's one of our new nurses, okay, and she just finished her critical care.
In the tank room, Frank works with Joni to wash a patient's burned foot.
I find it most enjoyable to be at the bedside to teach, to go over things. And sometimes you teach by not even speaking, you teach by doing. You know, and I think you try to be for them somewhat of a role model that they want to also continue in the profession and to be the best they can. Now take another Adaptic. Take a sort of a...
Okay.
Yeah, one of these. I think there's two of them in there, okay? And you're going to make mistakes, and but you're going to learn from them. And so every day I always tell them, look back 2 weeks ago where you were and look where you are now. And in 2 weeks ahead, you're going to find that you've progressed more. And then eventually, you'll get to a point where you feel somewhat comfortable, but then don't ever become comfortable.
As of right now, I'm always thinking about, like, did I miss something?
Yeah.
Did I do something wrong?
Even when we're on the unit, because we are new grads, we're constantly doing something because we're not as efficient as somebody that's been here, say, 20 years.
Retaining nurses like Joni and Allison is critical. About 25% of new nurses in the U.S. drop out in the first year. Willie Manzano says mentoring and special classes have dramatically cut the dropout rate at New York Presbyterian and reduced it well below the national average. And where does nursing pay fit into all of this?
I'd be the first one to argue, let's pay them great amounts of money. At the end of the day, that's not what's going to keep them here. It's really structures, systems, and support that we put in place to make the nurses feel that this is where they belong and where they can feel fulfilled both personally and professionally.
New York Presbyterian works hard to solve its nursing challenges, but the fact is that this hospital's gain is some other competing healthcare facility's loss. Remember, there aren't enough nurses in America.
We prepare advanced practice nurses who are nurse practitioners.
And few people understand that better and the possible solutions as well as Dr. Mary Naylor. She's a professor and a researcher at the University of Pennsylvania School of Nursing in Philadelphia.
If there was ever a time in the history of this country when one thought about the match between a profession and the changing needs of people in this country, this is the times that we have this great growth in our society of people living longer, but they are also living with more chronic conditions, more health care needs than ever before, and we have a rise each year in the need for nurses.
So you just needed extra paper for that?
Yes, okay.
In theory, the law of supply and demand should swoop in to fix this disconnect.
I would have thought the market took care of this. If there's a major significant demand for nursing talent, then you'd think that there'd be schools across the country willing to take them in, train them up, and they'd become nurses.
It is not at all that kind of an issue. The real issue is that there are schools across the country, but they don't have enough faculty to prepare these nursing students. Last year, about 70% of the schools in this country reported that they could not accept qualified applicants into their programs because they didn't have sufficient numbers of faculty to teach these students.
You got that? Not enough nursing teachers, in large part because a person with the skills and experience to teach can make a lot more money either as a senior nurse at a hospital or working for, say, a pharmaceutical company. It's another piece that contributes to this huge shortage of nurses.
Really, it is an historic proportion. And the real fundamental issue is I don't think everybody gets it.
We're just going to lift your leg up and remove the splints, okay?
What Naylor says people don't get is that the nursing shortage is part of a broad U.S. healthcare crisis that will not be resolved with disconnected local and regional solutions.
What we don't have is a coordinated effort to bring all of those solutions, all of those best practices, and make them immediately available to everyone throughout this country.
When it comes to national solutions, there are lots of efforts on the table to improve patient access to care. But the major bill passed just this week by the Senate Finance Committee offers no extra funding for nursing education. That means that even if reform manages to provide coverage to millions of uninsured Americans, there won't be enough nurses to care for them. Healthcare experts say there are good arguments that dealing smartly with nursing in America could save money. Willie Manzano at New York Presbyterian says this point is much debated, but she sees cost versus savings when it comes to nurses this way.
The investments that you make to ensure that you have the right staff, the right number of people, really will save lives because you're preventing complications, you're preventing medical errors, and you're also making sure that you have the right people who can take care of your patients every single day. And so to me, it's not a cost.
Nicole Marquez, the dancer, now has been hospitalized for nearly a month. She and her family, that's her mom there, understand the powerful connection between her nurses, her care, and her outcome. The breathing equipment has been removed from her mouth, and Nicole can now speak.
You said my name. It is, isn't it, though? Let's get this tucked in. Okay. Uh-huh. You have to breathe to talk.
Nicole is great. Love you, Mom. Wow. I never knew how that would sound.
Wow is right.
Nicole's mom has been at her side day and night for weeks.
So, Susan, this is a big hospital in the big city.
Right.
It could be very impersonal. I mean, you could be, I don't know what her patient number is.
Could
you
be. It's not.
It's not your experience?
Not at all. Not at all.
To what extent would you say the nursing staff here have been integral in making it not impersonal?
That is the key component. Absolutely. The nurses have been spectacular. From the night we first got here, and it was the fear of the unknown for us, we didn't know her condition. We're in a strange place. We're in a strange city. Right off the bat, the nurse is the one who was right there with us, walking us through everything.
You've gotten to know them.
Oh, gotten to love them. Yeah, we love them. Mm-hmm.
For the first time since the accident, Nicole can sit up. And her doctors have told her that she's well enough to make the trip to a rehab center back home.
All right, now, up tall.
Up tall.
We have to stay in touch with everybody because they're our new family.
Oh, and I'm...
They're taking care of us.
Yes. I'm going to miss you so much.
I'm going to miss you, too.
Take care.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad you. We'll miss you here, but we're looking forward to you coming back in a year, right? That's right. We're coming back to party. Party time when you come back.
The day after doctors told her that she could leave, Nicole returned with family and friends to Jackson, Mississippi. We first broadcast this story 1 year ago. Since then, Nicole has been working through intensive rehab in Mississippi to get her strength back. Just a few weeks ago, she decided to pay a visit to the hospital in New York.
Pigs! It's time to see.
Hold on, back up, girl. I'll change my dance. It goes like this. It goes.
Just a year ago, doctors and nurses feared that this talented young woman would never walk again.
I appreciate it. Don't cry.
She's still on the road to recovery.
I went from here.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I can go. I can do the wave.
Oh, my goodness.
But Nicole knows that without the nurses who have cared for her, she might not be here at all.
I had a lot of people support me along the way, but there's no way I'd be talking to you right now if it wasn't for those ladies. I'm standing here. My heart is beating.
Not yet.
I'm getting better and better and better. All of that is due to them.
You can get updates on Nicole Marquez's journey toward health, and you'll also find a fascinating journal kept by nurse Joni Welsh as she documented a week of her busy life in the burn unit. It's all on our website. PBS.org is where you can check in.
Connect to Now online at PBS.org. Which hospitals in your state have the American Nurses Association's stamp of approval? Use our interactive map to find out. Connect to Now at PBS.org. On the next edition of Now, global warming is changing more than the climate. In Bangladesh, people are being forced to change a whole way of life.
Within a week, the people will have to live on these boats.
But you probably need not dozens, but hundreds of these boats.
Yeah, perhaps millions.
And that's it for now. From New York, I'm David Brancaccio. We'll see you next week.